The Agathas by Kathleen Glasgow and Liz Lawson. Read for you by Meher Dadeja and Sophie Amos with Holly Linneman.
There are many perks to being invisible. I don't mean the actual kind of invisible, like the whole vaporous thing in the movies. I mean being the type of person that people simply don't really see. Because the type of person you are, the type of person they think you are, is not one that interests them. Because people don't see you, you have free rein to listen in on conversations, observe behavior, and learn patterns. All of these things are essential to surviving life, particularly high school. For instance, I was able to divert Kennedy, first name Rebecca, but all the main kids at Castle Cove High referred to each other by their last names, which I think is a curious and loathsome habit and makes them sound like male stockbrokers on an ill-advised bourbon bender. From some routine mean girl behavior in AP Biology today, by dropping some information I had gleaned while dressing for PE. Kennedy isn't happy to be my lab partner, even though I'm carrying her to an A in this class. Every lab day, she looks at me and sighs, rolling her neck like I've sliced her carotid, and then says, "Flannel? Again?" If I wanted my clothes critiqued, I'd sit with the stitch bitches during lunch. They make their own clothes, which is admirable, but makes for tedious conversation. And please, of all people, Kennedy should not be critiquing my clothes when today she's dressed like some sort of dead cheerleader. It's Halloween, but still. Usually, I let it ride. I can tune people out pretty well. But today was not the day, because all day I'd been confronted with the painful return of Alice Ogilvie and what that was going to mean for me. I'm sorry, Ogilvie, as her clan calls her. Kennedy was starting in on my hair when I decided to cut her off while slicing open the abdomen of our frog, which made her grow very pale. "Rebecca," I said, "I'm so sorry to hear about Cole. What a blow that must be." She fanned her face. "It's Kennedy? And what are you talking about?" I fixed my face into a perfect sympathetic shape, lips slightly pursed, chin tucked, head tilted. "Oh, wow, no, sorry. I thought you knew." "What the F?" she said. "What the F are you talking about, Eileen?" "Iris," I reminded her firmly. I carefully spread the skin of the frog so she could get a good look at its gleaming, spongy insides. The insides of things are so much different than the outsides. Most people don't care to find that out. "He's going with Fletcher, to the regatta ball. Wasn't that supposed to be you?" "It's like dealing with little kids, really. You have to distract them from whatever it is you don't want them to be doing. Offer a chocolate, a brightly colored game on your phone, and there you are, crisis averted." I knew mentioning this would sit poorly with Kennedy. All the mains adore the annual regatta ball at the yacht club. It's their time to buy obscenely expensive gowns and pretend they're some kind of local royalty while chugging back bottles of booze that cost so much they could pay for an entire year of college tuition. I handed Kennedy the scalpel and sat back. It really was quite a joy to watch Kennedy annihilate that poor frog. Good thing it was already dead.